Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tuesday edition of Family Church Mayville. Glory to God. Well, we just rejoice in that. Amen. We rejoice for what God gives us. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the local church. I'm so thankful for the office of pastor, not because I am one, but because I have one. Amen. I'm so thankful that God has connected me to the right place at the right time for the right things. Amen. So I can walk in all that He has provided for me. Amen. We know that we need the ministry offices. We know we need the local church. We know that we need all the things that He's provided to be able to walk it out. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm just excited that we get to do it together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's got good things for us tonight. Amen. Did anyone receive the slick text today? Praise the Lord. If you did, well, you're blessed. Hallelujah. You know the direction that we're going. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love being able on Tuesdays to send out, you know, kind of a teaser. You ever see those teaser trailers of a movie that you're expecting to come out, you know, and they have those teaser trailers that come out, and you always want more. Amen. Well, I hope that when you receive a slick text like that, that it stirs you. And, you know, man, I just want more. I want to see what this is about. Amen. Well, this is some stuff that the Lord, again, has been dealing. You know, how many know that I'm just going to preach what God's been dealing with me on? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I mean, I always follow the direction that I want to follow the direction that He is taking me. Amen. Praise the Lord, taking us. But a lot of times, you know, it applies, the things apply basically both to our lives, or to both of our lives, amen? Yeah, that's what I wanted to say, to both of our lives, hallelujah. So for your life and my life, glory to God, God's doing, He's taking, and that's because He's moving us all in the same direction, amen? Why is God moving us in the same direction? Well, that's why He's put us together, amen? Praise the Lord. He puts us together so that we can move in the same direction so we can accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. Now, every local body has something that they are to accomplish. And we have, as a big body, we have something that we are to accomplish. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have something to accomplish as a group, as a smaller group, and then as individuals. But how many know they're all tied together? Praise the Lord. And so what He's doing in here, He's doing for the greater good. And I'm thankful that we get to be part of it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, tonight's message is called The Power in You. Glory to God. We're not talking about your ability, but His. Amen. You know, when I have a habit now when I, before I come out and minister, that I like to get on my knees before the Lord and just remind Him that I know that it's not me, that it's Him, that it's His ability, not my ability. Amen. You don't want my ability, you want God's ability. Praise the Lord. And so I hope you pray for that too. Amen. As you're praying for me, if you pray for me, as you should, praise the Lord, because if I'm not led right, then you're not going to be led right. And then where are we going to be? We're going to be a heap of mess. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're preaching today about the power in you. We're talking about the ability that's in us, the power that's in us, you know, the grace that's in us. You could say all these things because all these things are the same thing. Amen. We see a lot about God's grace, but we know when we study out God's grace that really what God's grace amounts to is it's His ability in us, working in us. It's His ability working in us to do things that we couldn't do ourselves. Amen. Because you can't do this work by yourself. Praise the Lord. It's too great for you. I'm just telling you right now, it's too big for you. It's way over your head. You're not going to be able to figure it out. So if you've been like going through life and you're like, man, I don't know what to do. I've been trying to figure it out and I'm not getting there. Well, I'm just here to tell you it's because you haven't been looking in the right place. If you look to yourself, you will never be able because you are not able. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the world likes to teach kids. You know, we were at a graduation the other night, or last night, amen, the other night, but it's the other night, yeah. But we were at a graduation last night, and one of the things that some of the groups, the different classes that were graduating, one of the things they like to do is they like to have quotes, you know, and there's all kinds of inspiring quotes, you know. And a lot of the quotes are always about, you know, what you can do if you set your mind to it, and, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff, you know. And you can do anything you want to do. And I just like skip over all that garbage because I know that doesn't work. I know that whatever I wanted to do wasn't good. It never got me any place good. So I don't need to follow my plan. I need to follow God's plan. Amen. I don't need my ability. I don't need my power. I need what God's power is. Amen. Because the power that God has placed in me is much greater than the power that I have myself. Well, glory to God. We're going to start in Ephesians 3:20. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody excited for the word tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yep, we're going to get there. Ephesians 3:20. Oh, this is a good scripture. It's a good one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, for a long time, I would look at the scripture. Of course, there's part of the scripture that really excites me, and there was part of it that always gave me a question. You ever get that? You're reading the word, and there's a question mark in your mind, you know? And the part that always I had a question mark about was this part that says, now to him who is able, praise the Lord. Now, we know it makes it easy for us because we understand when him is capitalized, it means God. Praise the Lord. And it's talking about him who is able. Now, I know that God is able. Anyone here know that God is able? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I know that God is able. I don't need to know that God is able. I need to know that God is willing. Amen. But see, we need to understand what this verse is saying to us. When we see this, if God is able, it means that he's also willing. God is not withholding anything from us. God is not holding back his ability, his power. It's not that he is trying to find a way to lessen our ability through his power. Amen. When it says that God is able, amen, it means that God is willing. Praise the Lord. But when we see that God is able, that what we can understand by the scripture is just because he's able doesn't mean it always happens. Amen. And there's another scripture we're going to get to in a minute that kind of says the same thing. But we have to understand that God's power is not just necessarily going to happen. Amen. But there's a connection that we must make to it. Amen. Now we see that according to the power that works in us. Amen. Well, if you don't allow the power to work in you, then you're not, God's ability isn't going to mean anything to you. Because if you're refusing the power of God, then you're going to refuse the ability of God. And then nothing is able. Nothing is going to happen. We need God's ability, praise the Lord, but we need his willingness to operate in that ability. And it's connected to how we allow God to work in us. Amen. I want to share with you, this is my little book of secrets. Hallelujah. I don't know if anyone's noticed, I've been bringing something different. But this is, I started keeping a journal, praise the Lord, of things that God has been speaking to me. And one thing I've noticed about it is as I give myself to this, these blank pages, but as I give myself to this, God speaks to me more and more and more. Amen? Why? Because as I give myself to it, it shows God that I'm hungry. When I show God that I'm hungry, what does the Bible promise? He's going to fill me, right? Well, the interesting thing about that is you say, how would you give yourself to a blank pages? Well, one of the things is I make sure this is with me everywhere I go. Praise the Lord. I say, I make sure this is with me everywhere I go. There's two things I take with me almost everywhere I go. That's the Word of God, amen. I got it on my phone, but I usually like to carry it in this version here. But then I started bringing this along with me too. Why? Because I'm not going to limit God where he wants to speak to me. If I'm driving down the road and God starts speaking to me, I want to pull over to the side of the road and hear what he's going to say, write down what he's going to say. And the fact that I write it down, see, because if I say something to you just in passing, you might miss it. Yeah. Or you might hear it, but you might forget it. Amen? But see, when you write it down, it means that it shows that it's important. Well, praise the Lord. And you know, this is something that I've been taught for years and I just started doing it. Yeah. You know how it goes, right? Praise the Lord. So you might want to, you know, consider that yourself. Praise the Lord. But one of the things I was inspired on was concerning this verse here. And I wanted to share with you something that came to me as I was meditating on this verse. Amen. The power that works in us is the creative force of faith activated in the life of a believer who follows the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say that again. The power that works in us is the creative force of faith activated in the life of a believer who follows the Holy Spirit. You can go ahead and pull that scripture up and just leave it up if you can. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the active force of faith in a believer. Amen? Glory to God. It's activated in the believer as we follow the Holy Spirit. And so what we understand is that as we follow the Lord, as we follow the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead us into the place, into the things that we need to do. Now, God's got promises as they're attached to all those things that he's leading us into. Amen. And as we follow him, just day-to-day life. Now, this isn't necessarily big things. And see, this is one of the most wonderful things that I've learned about God is that he doesn't just lead us in the big things, the big plans for our lives. Glory to God. We got a plan for our life. I'm gonna do this, and this great thing in my life. Glory to God. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord for it. But it's not just talking about those. This is talking about your daily interactions, the little things that you do day in and day out. God will lead you through all of life, all these decisions, and all these decisions, as you well know, make a difference in your life, don't they? Sometimes, have you ever been in a car accident? Maybe a fender bender or something like that. Didn't it happen because you were on some road somewhere and something happened? Yeah. Amen. But has that thought ever crossed your mind that if I had been on a different road at that same time, I wouldn't have been in the way of that deer. I wouldn't have been in the way of that other car. I wouldn't have been in a place for that to pull out. See, all these little decisions that we make, even turning left or right, something as simple as turning left or right, even things like that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It matters, every decision that we make. And so and this doesn't mean that we get worried about it, because of course you don't sit there and, okay, what do I do next, God? What do I do next, God? If we do that, we're gonna be wrecks. We're gonna be a mess. Amen. That's not what God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, so we're not gonna take anxiety upon ourselves. But what we do is we make a practice of learning to follow God and hearing from God. And as we do that, God leads us into that place of his ability and his power. God will show us different paths to take. He will show us doors that we might not want to take. You know, there were some things that God was dealing with me on the, I don't know why, but it seems like very often lately, I've been woken up at around 4 to 4:30 in the morning. Many times. I mean, enough times to start thinking, man, something's happened at 4 to 4:30 with me. Amen. I don't know what it is always, but sometimes I just pray. But God has been revealing things, it seems to me, at this time in the morning. And last night was one of those times. And I'm not going to go into fully what he said, because there was some things in it that were, we'll just say, pretty heavy. Amen. Some things that would... That could tend to get on you if you let it. Amen. But God is a revealer of truth. The Holy Spirit is a revealer of truth. But one of the things that he reminded me of is in the plan, sometimes we'll just say it like this. In the plan, sometimes things happen in the plan that don't always look like the way that we want it. Sometimes things happen that at first it seems like it's a degrade or a downgrade or a step backwards or a demotion or whatever. This happens often, folks. This is something that we have to understand. But if it's in the plan of God, we need to make sure that we follow it. And the thing that he reminded me of, let's see if I can share any of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we don't want things... he was talking about things that will be a hindrance to the plan of God. Yeah. Amen? And he was talking about moving some things on that would be a hindrance to what God is about to do. And this is what he said to my spirit. So do not cry for what you feel is loss, for these things must be so. Amen. Do not cry for the things that you feel as loss, for these things must be so. And the importance of what we're saying, what he was saying to me, is that sometimes, even though it's not what we would prefer, because of the actions of others, because of the decisions of others, because of how things work, because there's an enemy in this world, sometimes things are loss. Sometimes you know that not everybody around you is going to go to heaven. You know that there will be people that don't make it. There'll be people that don't fulfill God's plan. And some of these things are all lost. Every single one of us has a plan to fulfill. Amen. But if we don't walk in that perfectly, then there's aspects of that that are lost. But God said that as it pertains to things that others do, amen, if it's a loss to us, not to focus on that, not to feel upset, we have to let that go. Amen. And that's part of relying on God's strength. Praise the Lord. But we know that God wants to work power in us. And so we need to focus on what we need to focus in. We need to stay with the word of God. We need to stay with the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So you're in Ephesians. Let's flip back to 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8. Now, we were here this weekend, both services this weekend. My wife was in it. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8. We were, you know, in Corey, I think we were talking about what you sow. Amen. Yeah. We were talking about the importance of sowing and not being able to reap without sowing. And here, my wife was talking about giving. Praise the Lord. And these scriptures are specifically pertaining pertaining to our giving, amen? But tonight, I'm not going to be talking about giving. I'm not talking about that at all. In fact, I saw something else in these scriptures that I had never seen before. I believe that you'll be able to see it too, but it's something else. It's another aspect of it. Now, this is something we need to understand about our God, is that there's many facets to God, amen? And what I mean by that is that you can get the Bible that's so in-depth that you can get many things out of the same scripture. You can teach many lessons out of it. So, you know, I said to my wife when I was preparing this, I'm going to some of the same scriptures that we were in, and you know, and she reminded me, good, go there. See, this is why we can't get bored with stuff, because God will reveal, He's a revealer of secrets. He'll bring out more and more and more. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. glory to God. So 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, everybody want a little biblical background lesson. Amen. You can't see it if you're looking up here, but if you're looking in your own Bible, something that you will see here is you'll see the word so let, and then you'll see that word give. Amen. And all three of those words are italicized. And what that means, when you're reading through your Bible and you see a word italicized, it means that word was not originally there. That word was added to help us understand the context of what's being preached. Amen? And the Lord pointed that out to me today, because in this instance, now again, I'm not going to take away from the original meaning and try to change it and make it something that it's not. But we're going to magnify it, and we're going to see something here that I had never seen before. Maybe you have, but I hadn't. So if you take those words out, you see each one, you see the idea, especially the word give. So let each one as he purposes in his heart. Now, another word that you could put in here that would be fitting is you could put the word do in here. Let each one do as he purposes in his own heart. And it's very, very important for us to understand. Now, that still applies. It wouldn't take away from the context at all of this scripture being about giving. Amen? But it does make us understand something a little bit more, because God isn't just concerned about our giving. God is concerned about what we do, how we do things, amen? And so what we do, the works that we do, you know, we see that back there in Ephesians 3:20, that according to the power that works in us, amen, we see that we know that God, of course, if you read the other scriptures right there in the first few chapters of Ephesians, you're going to see a lot about works in the works of a Christian, amen? The works are what we do, hallelujah. And so we see here that, yeah, let each one, if we say that like this way, just the sake of understanding so it doesn't sound weird, let each one do as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Praise the Lord. God loves somebody who is doing it. God loves somebody who is doing the work cheerfully. Now, of course, in context, we understand that that's not unscriptural. I'm not preaching some weird message that doesn't exist in scripture. You know, again, my wife, what's the scripture that you use? It's Isaiah 6. Is it Isaiah 6? 1:6 or something like that? The one that says the willing and obedient. 1:8? Yeah, praise the Lord. Can we bring that up? 1:8? Praise God, hallelujah. Well, it might not be, but we know the scripture because we were just in it on Sunday at any rate, you know. That God is looking for the willing and obedient, amen. It matters to God that we are willing to do the work. So let each one do as he purposes in his own heart. We need to purpose in our heart to do things. We need to have purpose in our heart to be doing the work of God, amen. Now, in purposing to do the work of God, we understand that we can't do it on our own accord. Amen. Don't you remember we said that at the beginning? We can't do it in our own ability. We don't have it within us to accomplish these great things that God has given us to do. 1:19. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's Isaiah 119. You can look at it later. Praise God. But we understand that God, that we have to purpose in our heart. God needs us to purpose in our heart to do certain things, to do the work of God, to do things according to His will. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let's continue reading here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this is a connection that we're going to see here. And God is able. We see that again. Amen. Didn't we just see that in Ephesians 3? This is what connected these scriptures. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Praise the Lord. Now, again, God isn't just supplying us with finances. Because I could have millions of dollars right now, and that wouldn't make this work go forward, would it? If I had billions of dollars, it wouldn't make this work go forward. What do we also need? We need people whose hearts are willing to do that. We need God needs people whose hearts are willing to do that. And so we understand that the supply isn't just in finances, but the supply is in willingness or in willing people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we see this connection here, I hope you do, that let each one do as he purposes in his heart, and then going forward, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. What this is telling us, God's grace is the ability to do just what he's called us to do. But this is also why it's incredibly important we do just what God has told us to do. When we start doing things that are outside the will of God, when we start doing things that are outside the plan of God, then His ability isn't there. What happens is then we start getting overburdened, we start getting overworked, and we start getting wore down. We get to the place where we can't anymore because we're relying on our ability. Now, listen, there's good people in here, and I'm good people too, praise the Lord. But good people can get mixed up sometimes, can't we? Sometimes you can be doing the work of God and start adding things to it. Amen? You can start adding things to it that God didn't have you put in there. And then what you do is you start bringing yourself outside, praise the Lord, of that place where God's ability and God's power is, amen, where all his sufficiency is. But see, this is the greatest thing, is we follow God and he reveals these things to our hearts, what we are to do, praise the Lord, all the sufficiency that we need is there. Everything that we need. I don't know if you're excited about this or not, because you kind of seem like a little bit like, maybe I'm confused, I don't know. But here's the thing. We need to get excited about what God wants to do, because that's where the ability and that's where the power is. We can't do it on our own. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we need to stop doing it. We need to stop trying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have an abundance for every good work. I can't get off of this just yet, because this is the importance of this of these scriptures. This is an important part. We have an abundance for every good work. But see, when you look at what you have, that might not tell you that you have an abundance. When you look at your wallet, it might not tell you that you have an abundance. When you look at the people that you have, you might not have an abundance. Amen. When you look at the people that are doing it, out of the people that you have, it looks even less sometimes. You understand? So, but it's incredibly important that we don't look at what we can do, that we don't look at our ability, but we start reflecting on His. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Back to Ephesians 3:20. I want to go back there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If we don't tap into that power, then we don't tap into that abundance. God is able, God is willing, amen? I remember when we were on that hunting trip once, I think I may have told you about this, but when we were on that hunt, the outfitter kept saying to us, he said, well, God willing, today we'll get a bear. He knew we were all pastors, so he liked to say God willing. And I remember Pastor Webb was with us, and finally he got fed up with him saying that, Because that's something that a lot of churchy people say that really, see, you got to know what God's will is. Don't say God willing. We either know what God's will is or we don't. Amen. And finally, Pastor Webb spoke up kind of like boldly, really boldly. And he said, God is willing. Now let's take us to the Bears. Amen. You know what I mean? God is willing. Hallelujah. God is willing. When we are in the plan of God, God is willing. When you want to know whether God will supply this or that for you, God is willing. When it looks like you can't pay your bills, God is willing. But see, listen, if you focus on where, and this is the key, is that do we focus in where faith focuses or do we focus in what we have? If we constantly are looking at what we don't have or what we can't do, then we are constantly focused in the wrong area. God's power is not in that area. You will never find God's power in that area. So as you focus in that area, basically what you do is you are robbing yourself, praise the Lord, you are robbing yourself of the ability that God has promised you. I said, you're robbing yourself of the ability that God has promised you. And then those Christians are the ones that sit there and say, oh, see, it doesn't really work. It does work if you follow God. It always works if you follow God. This is why when God was dealing with me last night on that thing and the thing that I can't go into, it was something that as a pastor would tend to make you very sad and weigh heavily on you. Praise the Lord. And even this afternoon, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about what happened. I was tempted to get into that realm of sadness. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to tell you, actually, I'll just tell you this much. The Lord was just revealing to me of someone else who was probably going to leave the church. And I even asked the Lord when I was there I got into prayer, and I even asked the Lord if I could change it. Glory to God. Let me share with you what came to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I woke up from a dream, and you know, godly dreams, there'll be answers in Scripture. And I woke up from this dream that I had, and I sensed that it wasn't just a dream. It wasn't just like a pizza and Pepsi dream, praise the Lord. It was a real dream, but praise the Lord. This is what came to me, and I wrote it right down. And then you got to remember, I was writing this in the middle of 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, just woke up. This is what came to my heart. This is what I wrote down. Right after I said, Lord, can I change that? Said, there are those that have been leaving, and there will still be more to come. They are being moved on because they will be a hindrance to what I am about to do. So do not cry for what you feel is loss, for these things must be so. Well, as a pastor, whenever there's a loss of people, your heart goes out because your heart's in that. Praise the Lord. And I'll just tell you, it's nobody in this room, glory to God, that the Lord showed me. But, you know, when you see that or when you know that that's happening, it's kind of like a heartache, and it'll start weighing on you. But see, that moves me into the place of not being in faith. That moves me into the place of starting to be depressed about things. And that's in the realm of the devil. That's not the realm of God. And so as the Lord was revealing that to me, I have a choice what to do with it. Now, I'll just tell you, this is something I've learned from Pastor Michael, that if the Lord shows me something and I can't handle it, he'll stop showing me something. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And I don't want to be that type of person. It's the same thing for you. And so we need to be able to handle what God shows us. He wouldn't show us if we couldn't handle it. Amen. But there's a choice that we have to operate in faith. And, you know, sometimes there will be people that be removed from you. God will move people out of the church because what they'll do is they'll hinder the progress of the church instead of helping it. And God has a goal. He has a purpose in mind of where we need to get to. Praise the Lord. Now, see, a lot of people, a lot of Christians would even have a problem with, and some of you may have a problem with me saying that, but it's the absolute truth. I'll just tell you right now that if you be a person that will constantly resist God and what he's doing, he will move you out. I said he'll move you out because God isn't in the business of having the work stalled. Amen. But then immediately after that, a scripture came to my heart, and so there was the answer, praise the Lord. It was John 14:29, and it said, and now I have told you told you before it comes, praise the Lord, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so the Lord will reveal things to us ahead of time. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. So, but we want to continue in God's work. We want to tap into this power. We want He has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. John 14:29. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians. Let's go back to 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16, we'll read through verse 18. Praise the Lord. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Wow, that's good, right? That's applicable right there. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, when it says the outward man is perishing, what it means is we live in a body. We live in a earthen vessel, as the Bible calls it. We live in a natural world. Amen. Our bodies, if Jesus doesn't come back, our bodies will pass on. We can't keep them immortal. We can't keep them from not passing on. They will eventually decay. That's what's happening. And that's what it's referring to there. Amen. It is not saying that we're perishing every day. It doesn't mean that we're, you know, that our demise is right around the corner. That's not what it's saying at all. But that's why it says that we have to be renewed in our inward man. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, the inward man being renewed day by day is in people who renew the inward man day by day. This is just not an automatic thing. This is people who stay in the Word. This is people who pray. This is people who stay before the Lord. This is people who go to church. This is all those things. Amen? You can't renew the inward man if you don't do the things that are renewing to the inward man. Amen? And then Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. This is something I want to show you here. Look in verse 17, because I made this connection earlier through the Holy Spirit, and I thought this was pretty awesome. There's that little four words in there, is working for us. I circled that in my Bible, and I connected it with the first word in verse 18. Because this is what it's saying, that the affliction, the light affliction, the things that come against us, they are working for us while we do not look. See, here's the thing. If you are looking at the things that are seen, they're not working for you. If you're focused on the things you see, if you're focused on the trial at hand, if you're focused at all the chaos around you, if you focus on the breakdown of our society, around, if you're focused on all these things, I'm not saying you can't recognize that stuff, but if this is your focus, then it's not going to work in for you, not going to work a greater, an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Right. Praise the Lord. It works in us while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now this is where we're kind of coming up to right here. See, it's because what we see is that if we look, focus on what is not seen, and you say, what is this focusing on not, what is not seen? This is the plan of God. This is what the Holy Spirit has been promised to reveal to us. Now, we know that God has been leading me so much, so many services. I've brought up things about the Holy Spirit and how He leads us. John, especially as we see in John 16:13. That scripture has come up oodles of times in services. We have to take heed to that. We have to understand that if God is focusing on an area, there's a reason that He's focusing on that area. It's because He's trying to get something over to us. He's trying to get help over to us. But see, if we ignore it or we reject it or we push it away, then we push away the very help of God. It is working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, praise the Lord, while we do not look at the things which are seen. See, if we focus on the things, if we focus on all the things that are seen, we completely miss what God is trying to do. If you get sad because somebody is leaving you, but there's somebody that the Holy Spirit is moving on. If you focus on how sad it is, if you focus on how much you'll miss them, if you'll focus on all the things that you know naturally, you're going to miss what God is doing in the midst. And then He might have to move you on. That's the thing. That's the sad thing about it, is that people get they get off focus because they start focusing in the wrong areas. People start focusing on how, you know, there's trial that comes in their life. And so what would good Christians who are serving and are working hard and doing the will of God, they start focusing on those trials. They take their mind off Jesus, and all of a sudden they become worthless to the body of Christ. I said they become worthless to the body of Christ. They become people that are doing nothing for God. Even though they're working, even though they're doing these things. Listen, we've all been here. We all go through this, but we have to decide at some point, am I going to stay with what I know, or am I going to focus on what I know I shouldn't? People are focusing where they shouldn't, and this is why depression comes into the body of Christ and lasts and lasts and lasts. This is why you get sad, because you don't stir yourself up in what you know to do. You get stirred up by the things that are happening around you. And Satan the whole time is robbing that exceeding and eternal weight of glory right from your midst. Even though God intended it for you. I have seen once great Christians who have served God with their whole hearts, and they've started doing amazing things for God. And all of a sudden, something happens. It distracts them. It pulls them away from what God is doing. They start focusing on that thing, and then you watch them go down, 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 until they become pretty much worthless for the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying they won't be saved and go to heaven. Yeah, there's a lot of Christians that will, you know, that will get into heaven and just have forfeit the plan of God. Because their focus was in the wrong area. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen, we look to heaven. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of all things for us. He is the revealer of truth. He is trying to get truth into us all the time. But people are refusing it because they want what they want. Because they want to hear what they hear. They want to do what they always did. They there's all kinds of reasons people do it. And we all know what they are in our own selves, praise the Lord. Yeah. But praise God, hallelujah. I want to read 2 Corinthians 4:16 in the Amplified. It says, therefore we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and worried out through fear. Wow. What happens when fear comes on you and you take heed to fear? What happens? That's exactly what you start getting worn out. Yeah. Have you ever been there? Yeah. You start getting I just don't know if I can do it anymore. Yeah. I don't feel like I can. You start taking your focus off of what's not seen. Here's another thing that's not seen. The things that aren't seen are the things that the Word tells us. And what I mean by that is the Bible promises us that God's power is working in us. But when you focus on the things that are seen, you lose sight of the fact that His power is working in you. You say, well, I don't feel His power. The Bible didn't say His power. The Bible says believe His power. Trust His power. Trust that the Word of God is true. It doesn't say to feel it. You don't have to. Listen, I don't feel like I'm coming out here tonight. I don't feel like a pastor. Whatever that feels like, I don't feel like it. Praise the Lord. I don't necessarily feel like that God has placed some gift in my life to teach the body of Christ. I don't feel it at all. I don't need to feel it. I have the Word to tell me that it's there. Praise the Lord. That's why I started changing some of the things that I say. When I start going and I'm not feeling it, when I go to the pulpit and I'm not feeling it, I say it's there. Yeah. Why? Because He promised it would be. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I've got the Word to teach me the truth. But see, the same thing is with all of us. If we come and praise the Lord. Yeah. If you are overburdened in life, it is because of one of two things. Either you don't know the truth or you don't apply the truth. It's one of two things. It has nothing to do with God not doing anything. It has nothing to do with that. If you are overburdened in life, it's one of two things. You either don't know the truth or you don't apply the truth. Let me say that again. If you're overburdened by anything in life, it is because of one of two things. There is no other thing involved. There's one of two things happening. You don't know the truth or you do not apply the truth. If we are not applying the truth, we are actually worse off, the Bible says, than one who doesn't know the truth. We're worse off because here we have the ability to, and yet we ignore it. And how do we ignore it? Because we start confessing the wrong things, because we start looking at the things that are unseen. When it says that we look at the things that are unseen or the things that are seen, it doesn't mean that we just see it. You know what I mean? It means that we look at it and we start pondering it and that we allow it in ourselves. We allow it to become who we are. Amen? Amen. We allow fear. Have you ever allowed fear to become who you are? When you are afraid, you have allowed fear to become who you are. The Bible says we have not been given a spirit of fear. You have not been made fear. You have been made power. You have been made sound. But what do you choose to walk in? Praise the Lord. And it's all by where your focus is. Listen, I know the temptation. Listen, this last year alone, as a pastor, there's so much temptation to feel like I failed. There's so much temptation to feel like it's all crashing down. But I know what the truth is. I know that God's hands are in both of these works and that he's doing something. And sometimes we in churches, you'll have what's called good bowel movement. Yeah. You'll get rid of the stuff that's just stinking, the stuff that you just need to purge, the stuff that isn't doing any good, the stuff that's holding the church back. I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth. That's what Dr. Dufresne called it. Churches need a good bowel movement. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Listen, sometimes that bowel movement is just the stinking thinking. Yeah. Yes. No, listen, people can change their thinking and all of a sudden become very useful for the body of Christ. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. God has placed my wife and I here to help people in these towns. The amount that the people of these towns connect to that will determine the amount that they will be helped by it. I am not talking pridefully. I'm not building myself up. It has nothing to do with me. I didn't choose this. I didn't want this. To tell you the truth, it wasn't something that I signed up for and said, hey, I want to be pastor. I didn't do that. That wasn't me. That wasn't my past. That wasn't what I wanted to do. Glory to God. And some days it still isn't the thing that I want to do, but I do it because I'm going to be obedient to the call of God. But God has placed us here to help people. The amount that you connect to that is the amount that you will see help from it. And there'll be people, there'll be those that will get offended. There's those that can't ever receive the gift of pastor. They can't ever receive that office. I can't submit to that. Then those are people that will not flourish in the plan of God. Because you cannot flourish without a pastor. It's an impossibility. I'm going to tell you something right now. Praise the Lord. It's going to be bold. But I'm going to say it anyways because it'll help you if you'll listen to it. You don't know more than I do. You don't. When it comes to the things of God, you don't know more than I do. Because God would not place you in my church if you knew more than I did spiritually. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know everything there is to know. But I do know what I need to know when I need to know it. Because I have the Holy Spirit who is working in me. Amen. And so I'm talking about spiritual things. There's lots of things you may know that I don't know. I'm saying that. There's you may know a lot of scripture more than I do. But that doesn't mean you know more than than I know. God will ensure. Pastor Tim always taught me that, and I never quite got it. I never quite understood it fully. But that's the truth. God will not bring anyone. I used to be so afraid that God would bring people in my midst, and this was just because I didn't know what God was the way God does things. I was so afraid that somebody would come in my midst, maybe a former minister or something like that, somebody who would know more than I did. But that doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit will always ensure that I have the right answer for this group of people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is why we see so much trouble in the church because there'll be committees, there'll be all groups of people in the church that think that they know better than the pastor how to run the church. And what happens is the churches fall apart. Listen, I'm not saying you can't. You can study the word. You can know deep things. That's fine. I'm not saying that. But the Lord has placed a gifting in every church. He has placed a gift in that church in order to establish that church. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I cannot establish something if God has not placed me there to do that and given me the ability to do so. Amen. And so the ability, the amount that you connect with that, the amount that you see that, I am not saying the amount that you connect with me. I'm saying the amount that you receive the gift that's in your life. Amen. Now, the gift has been given to all of us. I hate saying gift when it pertains to the office I stand in because it always sounds like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. And if you're a person who's offended, you'll see it as somebody, you'll see it as me talking about me. And if that's what you see, well, you're offended, and you better get over that or you're going to get moved on. You'll be the next flush. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm not doing this. I'm getting to the point, and even more so, where I'm not doing this. I'm not trying to be a man pleaser anymore. I'm carrying less about that. Because what I've found is that people that I try to please are generally the ones I work hardest to please are generally the ones who are the quickest to leave. They're the ones that are the quickest to sell you out. And one day they'll say, "I love you, Pastor," and the next day they'll be talking bad about you in public. I mean, it's outstanding. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just had a recent one where somebody had left us. I didn't ever do anything. They didn't preach anything different. Left us and then saw them in public and they completely ignored me. Completely ignored me. Never. I mean, I never did a thing to them. Never said a bad word to them. I encouraged them to stay. They didn't want to listen. But I saw them in public and they treated me not. They didn't treat me like I was somebody who they didn't know. They treated me like I was an enemy. Wow. Yeah. Person said, "I love you, Pat." Yeah, my whole family. And I'm going to tell you something. It hurt. It hurt bad. But you know what? I'm over it. I said, I'm over it. Because here's the thing. I can't sit there looking at the things that are seen constantly, seeing people who don't care, people that don't give a rip, not wanting to do the things of God, seeing them fall away by their own demise, not listening to the word of God just because they want to chase something that's easier or something. Well, you know what I mean? Something that's easier, something that's easier in their head. Well, it's easier to have my own way than it is to have what God wants me to have. So I'm just going to do what I want to do. Well, fine. Go have what you want. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I will not argue with people over that. This stuff happens. This is real. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. And I could go further with that, but I'm not even talking about like them specifically, but stuff that's been done. And it's just, oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Praise the Lord. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Someday this earth is going to burn up and all the things in it. And none of it's going to matter. One thing I've learned in my life, I'm so glad that God has given me this grace to be able to see this. But one thing that I've learned in my life is that some things, they just don't matter. You know, I mean, you may enjoy it for a time, but it's just not, in a few years, it's not going to matter. You know, if you lose something, you'll gain it back. Praise the Lord. I've lost things, gained them all back. You know what I mean? I'm not in it for that. Amen? But see, when our focus is those things, that's what drags us down. That's what pulls us away from what God is trying to do in us. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Acts 1. So God's trying to do something in us. He's trying to help us. Now, the key to all this, of course, is being led by God's Spirit. It's important to be connected to the Word and to see things in the Word, but it's just as important to be led by His Spirit. Praise the Lord. God is not going to be leading you by His Spirit in a different direction than what He's leading the local church in.
Yeah.
It's not going to be different. They're not going to be at odds with one another. And so if you are following God, you will go with the flow of what God is taking the whole group. Yeah. Now, you understand, there might be differences. I'm not saying there's no differences. But the truth of the matter is you'll be going in the same flow. You'll have the same work. That's where God's ability and power is. See, the thing is, if people want to be blessed, and God wants to bless them, but it's in the confines of that place. Remember, we were talking about that. It was God's Eden that He set up for man. You know, if you start going outside of the gates, if you go outside the sheepfold, you start going into the place where God can't bless you. Praise the Lord. It's not that He doesn't want to bless you. He set it up to bless you. But if you leave it, you become unblessed. Amen? De-blessed. Hallelujah. You de-bless yourself. Have you ever felt de-blessed? Hallelujah. Okay, so we see here, and this is where Jesus, of course, this is where Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit had not come on the earth yet, praise the Lord, the way that He was going to. But this is the entrance of the Holy Spirit. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Now listen, we can look to Scripture for all kinds of promises. There's lots of promises, but this is the promise. The Holy Spirit is the promise. He is the one who opens doors for all the other things. He is the avenue. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the door. You understand that. But the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals it to us. He's the one who brings us to that place of blessing. You know, I love following the Lord. I love following the Spirit because the Spirit will literally, he'll be like, don't buy this or don't buy that. And if you think too much about it, you'll get in your head and you might get bummed out. You might get mad or whatever. But if you just flow with it, he'll lead you to a place. Maybe he'll lead you to a better deal. Maybe he'll lead you to somebody who'll give it to you. You understand? See, God does all kinds of crazy things like that. He does. But if we always are focused on how am I going to make it happen, how am I going to do things, well, praise the Lord, then you're a person who will always, you're looking at the things that are seen, not the things that are unseen. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you, and here's another thing. He's not going to lead you in a path where you know all everything that's going to happen. Yeah, right. He's going to lead you in a path that makes you step out in faith. Yeah. Praise God. I'm so thankful he does that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It doesn't always sound like something that's good, but it is. For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So Jesus himself, the one that promised us salvation, the one that told us about God and the will of the Father, he is also the one who told us about the Holy Spirit. And he said, wait for it. Now, he was telling them to wait for it. We don't have to wait for it anymore. They had to wait for it because he didn't come yet. Amen. Praise God. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel, kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. You shall receive power. Glory to God. Remember back there in Ephesians 3:20 said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is the power that works in us? The Bible is very clear what it is. It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is the ability of God. He is the direction of God. He is everything God to us. Amen. And so if we are going to flow with God, we need to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to do what he is doing. Amen. And to follow after him. Praise the Lord. I love that. Again, it says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So you might sit there, you might be like, you know, you have a problem. Maybe you have an issue. Maybe something is happening in your life. And you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need an answer to this problem. But God wants to work in exceeding an eternal weight of glory. He wants to work something bigger than you, exceedingly abundantly above. And so maybe he allows a situation. Maybe he allows someone to filter out of your life. And at first you're like, Lord, all you do is you go to God and you're like, Lord, bring them back to me. Lord, bring them back to me. But see, maybe God was working that out of your life. If God was working that out of your life, he's working out of your life because he's doing something bigger. Now, see, here's the thing. Sometimes God will try to be moving somebody out of your life because he's going to try to move somebody perfect into your life. I'm just using examples of this right now. But he's trying to move somebody perfect into your life. But see, if you're so focused on what is little, on the things that are seen, this is what I want, what God is trying to move into your life won't happen. Because you've filled that void with something that ain't supposed to be there. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a, praise the Lord. I wasn't talking to you. I looked at you when I said house, but I wasn't talking. You know what I'm saying? Well, praise the Lord. I just felt that I better clarify that for him because as I looked at our eyes, Matt, and I said house, and they just bought a house not too long ago, so praise God. But you understand what I'm talking about. Like, God will work things. That's why it's important to follow him. Amen. If we're not following God, we'll miss these things. And sometimes these things won't look perfect in the moment. Praise the Lord. Sometimes God will move us into a place where it's like, oh, the crunch is on. But if we look at those things, we will be overwhelmed. But when we look at him, knowing that we have been moved into this place or that this has happened, then it's not a big deal. It's a, listen, if you know, just looking at a church, if you have somebody in the church who's causing division and causing divisiveness, being divisive, and they're causing upset in the church, they could ruin what God wants to do in a bigger area because they start recruiting people. And then you have good-hearted people who get sucked in by stupidity, because that all always happens. And then, you know, all of a sudden you have this big thing that blows up. Yeah. Wasn't what God intended. And so we have to allow God to move things in and out of our life. Praise the Lord, because he knows best. Now we have to trust him, knowing that it's always going to be to our benefit. It's always going to be to our blessing to us. But sometimes we have to walk through it and allow it to happen. Sometimes that'll happen. It'll look bad for a while, and then all of a sudden, we'll see the end result. Amen? Praise the Lord, where God is doing something. And so we see that God is giving us power. You shall receive power, praise the Lord, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. It means you'll be able to take this knowledge to the world. You'll be able to take it to your coworkers. You'll be able to take it to your friends and your family. You'll say, listen, this is how God got me through in these steps, blah, 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 blah. And that's exactly what it's talking about, because we're supposed to bring fruit to God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. Acts, no, you're in Acts 1. I want you to flip over to, because we know we need to see something here. Acts 7:51. At first, I wasn't sure how this scripture was going to fit in here. And then, now I see how it is. And we see, and here, to give you a little background, this is where Stephen, the one who was about to be stoned, this is where Stephen was talking to the Jewish leaders, and he was telling them about Jesus, amen? And he was going through all the stuff, and he was explaining the word to them, amen? And now he confronts them, these religious people, and this is what he says to them, 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now that, when it says uncircumcised in heart and ears, it means there's a veil. You know what circumcision is. If you don't, well, praise the Lord, ask your parents. But, there's a covering over it is what it means. And so to be uncircumcised means that covering hasn't been removed. Now, if you're uncircumcised in your heart and your ears, it's not because someone else put that covering over it. It's because you have a covering over it. I'm just going to tell you, as a pastor, one of the hardest things to deal with are people who are uncircumcised in heart and ears. Because you try to tell them something and they don't even listen to it. I have told many people many things that they have not listened to because they have been uncircumcised in heart and ears. Yeah. Listen, this is a warning to people. There's a warning to people in here. When your pastor speaks to you about something and says things to you, there's a reason they are saying it. Praise the Lord. If you are not hearing it, you are choosing that on your own accord, and you will miss the Holy Spirit. You are rejecting the Holy Spirit by doing so. That, listen, again, we go back to this. I didn't choose you. Praise the Lord. God chose you. Yeah. I didn't move anyone into this church. God did. Yeah. And many of you have come into this church, and you have come in. I have had people come in. This, the Lord brought me. If the Lord brought you here, he brought you here to listen. Yeah. He didn't bring you here to tell me. Yeah, right. Praise the Lord. You know, there's some people that think that. They're foolish. It's absolute foolish. They think that they get moved into a church to tell the pastor how to do things. Yeah, because that's how God's always done things, right? And that just makes sense, because that's what we do. And you know, when the new batch of privates come into the military, you know, you get the recruits. We just saw a bunch of kids that are signing up for the different branches of the military. Thank God for their service. We appreciate that. But you know, one of the first things that they learn when they get brought in, when they go through basic training, they call it basic training. Listen, Christians go through basic training first too. Some Christians never get out of basic training. You know why? Because those are Christians that come in and think that they know something. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. I was one of those Christians. I came in and I thought I had something to give. I had something to say. I had something to add into it. And I learned very quickly that I didn't. Praise the Lord. We think about how foolish that would be in the military. That new recruit, that 18-year-old recruit comes in. Amen? They're green, right? They come in and say they have and this wouldn't happen, but a general pulled up in the general's Jeep. Hallelujah, whatever they drive, amen, the general's Humvee or whatever they use. But the general came in, and that private stepped out or whatever they are, whatever rank they are, that basic trainer, trainee, they step up and they say, I got some ideas on how we need to do this. Yeah, see, it doesn't make any sense, does it? But we are called to serve as soldiers in the body of Christ. So why would we think that it would work differently inside the church? Amen? We are not called to serve ourselves. We are called to serve others. Yeah. Amen? But you can't do that if you come in with the knowledge of what needs to be done. Right. Praise the Lord. And think about how much confusion that would be. Think about how much confusion that would be. If everybody who came through the door had an opinion on how things should be done, and it was all taken, we just took every opinion. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Think about where it would go. Well, you know where. If you've been in a church, you'd know where it would go because of where it's been. Amen? But those are people that are uncircumcised in heart and ears, that they think that they have something to add to what God has already decided to do. Right. Amen? Now listen, when I say this, I'm not trying to be cruel, because you do have something to add. You have something to bring. You have your giftings to bring. But how do we bring our giftings? We bring our giftings in the form of serving, always. Praise the Lord. Jesus became a servant. He said it, and the Bible says that if he was a servant, we need to have that same mind. So Jesus came to serve, so we need to come to serve. That's why we come. I come to church to serve. I don't come to church because that's how God will promote you through ranks sometimes if you serve well, and praise God. That's exactly what God did with us. I'm not speaking in pride, but I'm not holding it back either. I'll just tell you, I served my pastor well. Now, there was areas that I failed. There was many areas that I didn't do well, and I had to get right. I'm not saying I was perfect, but I served him well. And because I served him well, that's why I got promoted. That's why God put me in something else. But people think that it's going to happen by coming in because you have some kind of talent or because God speaks to you about something. None of that matters. None of that matters. Praise the Lord. If Jesus didn't do it differently, you certainly aren't. If Paul didn't do it differently, you certainly aren't. If Peter didn't do it differently, you certainly aren't. God used these people to write scriptures. How many scriptures have you written? Praise the Lord. The abundance of revelation that Paul had, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. How much abundance of revelation have you had? You may think that you had some, but I'm telling you, if you think you're anywhere close to what Paul had, you're just a pride bucket and you need to get that wiped out of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there is no lone wolves. That's the other side of it. That's another form of pride where people think, well, I can just do the Christians. I meet Christians all the time, just doing it on their own. Christians aren't connected to any church. What are those? Those are Christians that are lost. Those are Christians that are deceived. Those are Christians that are uncircumcised in their hearts and in their ears. You cannot get God on your own. You can get saved on your own. I'm not saying that by, you know, if you accept the Lord. But what I'm saying is God will always move you to a place of getting help. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I need to preach this on Sunday. I need to preach this out there in the street. I need to praise the Lord. I need to preach this in every church because it's the truth. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Remember, he was speaking to religious people. Yes. A lot of Christians are religious people. A lot of them are religious people. Praise the Lord. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. The word resist means to be adverse, to oppose, to strive against. You always strive against the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. There's people that do that in the local church all the time. Resistance comes in many forms. You have to ask yourself, why do I resist something? You know if you resist something. I'll tell you the first place you resist, when something is being preached and you don't like it. That's the first form of resistance. Praise the Lord. That's the first place where resistance pops up. Because God has not called us to be separate. He is, listen, I don't just go home and like sit there and think, man, what kind of things can I preach to put people in bondage? What kind of things can I come up with that would pad my pockets? Or what kind of things, because I'm going to tell you, if that's what I've been doing, I've not been doing a very good job at it. Praise the Lord. I haven't gained something so great that would say that I've just been preaching to gain. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been preaching the Word of God. And I know many other pastors. My pastor preaches the Word of God, and I watch people resist it all the time. I watch people resist it here, watch people resist it there. And sometimes sometimes people are so uncircumcised that you can't even tell them. Do you know that? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to look up, but I'm going to tell you right now that there is people sitting in this room that I have told things to, and you have not heard it. And because you have not heard it, God can't bless you in certain areas because you won't listen. I'm telling you that by the Spirit. And I'm looking down purposely so I don't make eye contact, praise the Lord, like I did with Josh, because I don't want anybody. But see, this is why it's important that we check our hearts. We have to check our hearts. There's people, there's many people in this church that I have spoken to by unction of the Holy Spirit, and they have ignored it. You resist the Holy Spirit, just as these other religious people did. Why? Because you don't like it? Because you don't want to change? Because you're not willing to change? I can present the Word, but it doesn't matter. The truth is the truth, and either we accept it, either we receive it, or we don't. But you decide. If you want the power of God working in your life, if you want prayers answered, if you want to be able to move to that place, why do we come to church anyways if we don't come to be perfected? I come to church to be perfected. I am not perfect. I'm not perfect as I stand before you. I come to church to be perfected. I still meet with my pastor and my pastor's pastor to be perfected. I make sure that I am in that place where I'm hearing God's word, because guess what? Where God has connected me, that is where everything is for me. I don't go searching for it elsewhere. I'm not listening to other ministers. I'm not listening to all these other ministries and following after all this stuff. I listen to the ones who God has connected me with, and I know the ones who God has connected me with. One of them is coming in this month. God has connected me with that. Now, God has not connected me with that for me, because if he had connected me with that for just me, I wouldn't need to bring him in here. But God has purposed in his heart to make sure that he is here. And so if anyone in this church that has been connected to this church doesn't see that as a connection for them and make every attempt to make sure that they're receiving from that, then they are doing this right here. They're resisting what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in their lives. And this is the thing that I've learned and that so many people don't see, but God is trying to get stuff over to us. But if we resist the Holy Ghost, we'll go without. We will miss what God has for us. We will miss the blessing. We will miss the answer to our prayers because we don't listen. Because we're uncircumcised in heart and ears. Because we don't check ourselves. Because we don't listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. Now listen, you say, I came on a Tuesday night and I didn't need all this. Well, listen, you came on a Tuesday night because you're faithful. But I'm going to tell you, look around you and do the math. Show up on Sunday morning and do the math. There's a difference, isn't there? Yes. Now, there's times when people can't be in church, and I understand there's even people today, and you don't need to do this. But there's several people today that send us messages, Pastor, we can't be in service tonight. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not asking people to tell me when they can't be in service. That's between you and God. I don't tell you for my sake. You are here because God wants to do something in your life. He wants to change something in your lives. Now, of course, you always appreciate it when people care enough, because that means they care enough. They don't want you to think that they left you or something like that. I do the same thing, and so I understand that. And again, I'm not asking people to do that. But what I'm saying is, you look around and people are so distracted by so many things that they miss what the Holy Spirit is doing. Yeah. Because we don't do Sunday services and Tuesday services. Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is a nice day. Praise the Lord. If you think I wanted to prepare all day long and then come here and preach tonight on a nice summer day, listen, I get just as many summer days as you do. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at the forecast, and like, you know, last year, like, the best days every week last year was Saturday nights. The best days. They were the nicest days. As a pastor, you loathe those kind of days. Do you know why? Because people they pick things over church all the time. Yeah. And you're striving to do this for them, and then half of them don't show up, or they just get busy doing something else, And again, there's always, we're not trying to like condemn people and make you be like, oh, you gotta be. No, we should want to be where God is moving. Because the Holy Spirit, listen, this is why we encourage people along this way. And the Bible tells me that I have to convince and rebuke and exhort, and I have to try to get you to come over and to see the truth. Why does the Bible tell me to do that? Because people have to understand that the most important things you will receive in life are from sitting right where you're sitting. The answers to your life will be right where you're. You know how many services I've gone to? There's been times I've gone all the way out to California. When we go to those services in California, we may get a few days or something like that where we get to see a few things. But you know, it's not just going out there and golfing the whole time. We're going and sitting in services. We're not just going out there and, you know, floating in the waves and stuff like that. Listen, there's a lot of things I want to see in California I've never seen. And not because I haven't been there, because I'm doing something else. But do you know how many times that we've done that? We've gone through. We paid ourselves to put me out there. And every single time, there'll be a service that I'll be sitting in, and the Lord will reveal to me, this is why you're here. It's the answer that I needed. Glory to God. Or Gatlinburg, or whatever, wherever we go. You know, we don't pick where we didn't just say, oh, well, I want to follow this church because they're in a nice area. Because I'm just going to tell you the truth. If that were the case, I'd find a church in Hawaii real quick. Yeah, I wouldn't mind going to Hawaii to go to a service, amen, and sit on the beach in the afternoon. I wouldn't mind that whatsoever. And by the way, the Pacific Ocean is it's not even warm. It's cold. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So you know, people, even in the summer, they have to wear wetsuits to go out in it. So it's not like you just go, you know, go swimming in the water or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I you know, you picked the Caribbean or something like that. There's a lot of places that we would go to. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So we're not just picking places to randomly. Oh, I'll follow this minister because they're in a nice area or something like that. No, we try to follow the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. But because we follow the Holy Ghost, that's how this church got planted, right. And others, others as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. So. You have to ask yourself, why do I resist? Why do I resist what is being said? Ask yourself that. If you have that feeling, something in the service that you don't like, why don't I like it? Ask yourself that. Because if you take yourself down that road, you will soon get yourself to one of a few places. Either what they're saying is not the truth because it's not scriptural, or I don't like it because it's rubbing my flesh the wrong way and now I can change it. I do the same exact thing. I'm just telling you how I get through it. You don't think I sit in services, have my pastor preach something, and I don't like it? Of course. You don't think I hear other people minister things that I don't like? Of course I do. Why? Because I'm human. There's things that I don't necessarily, there's things that, oh, I know I got to change that. I don't want to change that. I don't want to do that thing, but I know that I need to. And so I ask myself that. Amen. Maybe you will pray in tongues, but you refuse to have hands laid on you. That's resisting the Holy Spirit. Maybe you will do both of those, but maybe you'll pray in tongues and you'll have hands laid on you, but you resist the direction of the local church. It's still resistance. It could be a lot of things. Maybe you won't pray in tongues at all. That's resistance. Maybe you don't want this or maybe you don't want that. It's resistance. Ask yourself, why do I resist? Is it because it makes my flesh feel weird? Those are never reasons for us to resist. Praise the Lord. A true reason to resist is that if something is unscriptural. Show me in Scripture. If I can't see it in Scripture, I can't present a case, but we can. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Why do I resist things? Oh, anything. If it's something that's being said. But see, it's that place that the devil tries to get entrance into our lives. It's when the pastor says something that we don't like to hear. Amen? And seriously, if we're hearing a bunch of things that aren't truth, then we really got to consider where we're going. Yeah. Amen? I strive with everything that's in me to preach the Word just as it's written, to preach the Word that's not just like come up with some idea out of Scripture, but we see things over and over and over in Scripture. Praise the Lord. Things that I've been taught, hallelujah. I try to do that. praise God. I'm not just trying to preach my own experience or anything like that. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So if God isn't doing it, if God isn't building your life, that house is, you know, obviously it's not just a house. You know, we can use this for a lot, you know, a lot of ways, but if God isn't building, if it's not built God's way, they're laboring in vain. If a ministry is not built the way God wants to build, I ask the Lord all the time, God, am I building your house correctly? Am I doing things the way that you would have me to do them? Because the truth is, I don't ever want to get to that place where I think I've got it all figured out. I don't got it figured all figured out. In fact, I know this every single day I ain't got it figured out. Amen? Praise the Lord. He said amen too quickly, some of you. Ephesians 4:20. That was a joke. We started in Ephesians 3:20. We're going to end in Ephesians 4:20. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's helping us tonight. Amen. Ephesians 4:20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It is that old man within us that always calls us back to the things that we've always done. Why have I always done things this way? If it's something that you have always done a certain way and it hasn't worked out for you in the past, you need to consider this. Now, you know, there will be aspects of us that were old in our old life that still carry over. You know, for example, my mom was always a giving, loving person. Would give anything to anybody and was always loving on anybody. Praise the Lord. That carried over, but it's magnified now. Amen? It's magnified more godly now. She can direct it better now. But that was something that was good. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about the old things that didn't work. Yeah. The old way of living, the old way of doing things, business as usual. Christians coming into the church thinking that they don't have to change. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If God has brought you here, he has brought you here to perfect you. Yeah. And if God has not brought you here, he has somewhere for you to go where he wants to perfect you. Yeah. Because that's what the pastor does. The office of pastor, perfecting the saints. It's equipping the saints. Amen. That's what the job is supposed to be. When I say perfecting, that's what I mean. It's equipping us to do the work that God has intended us to do, to follow that plan. That's what the office is for. That's what the local church is for, is to move us into that place of perfecting that Christ wants us to be moved into. But people who come in and want things their way, you know, they want Burger King in the church. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Burger King does fine with that business model. It doesn't work for a church. You can't have it your way. Listen, I have had people come to me over the years, over 5 years. I have had people come to me with suggestions on how to change things. I have had people come to me with offers of themselves in areas that I knew by the Holy Ghost not to use them in. And I found out later that if I had used them in that area, it would have been the downfall of the church, or could have been, or it could have destroyed things in the ministry that God was trying to build. See, the Holy Ghost will always lead us right. I don't put, you know, those people back there in the sound booth, they're not just back there because we needed somebody. Because I will not use somebody, praise the Lord, if they are not capable of being used. The people on the worship team, the same ways. And here's the thing, if you serve in any capacity, if you do things, listen to this, if you do things that put that in danger, you will get removed from that. And you will lose blessing because you are doing things that you know are wrong. So if you serve in a capacity in the church, you better act right outside of church. You better not be going out doing things just because you want to do them because it's what your flesh wants. I'm just telling you by the Holy Ghost. Right now, I'm warning you. There are things that that will cause problems in the local church because you don't want to control your flesh. Because you don't want to do what you got to do. Listen, and I won't feel bad if I have to remove people, because if people aren't going to live right, then they're not going to serve God either. They're not going to get that opportunity. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so, praise God. So, that's just the truth. God wants us to be helped. He wants people to be used. He gives people opportunity. But we can't do it according to the old man. We have to crucify that flesh. We have to put that down and say, you know what? That's not me anymore. I've been redeemed. I've been bought. I've been blood bought. I've been brought into a new family, a new way, a new flow. Amen? Praise the Lord. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We have to live holy. We have to live desiring the things of God. We have to be after what God wants. And as we are people that do that, we will see the perfection of God come out in our lives. The things, the ability, the grace that we're looking for, praise God. That stuff will all be there if we are people that determined to follow God according to His word, to follow His Spirit, and not be people who are uncircumcised in hearts and ears. Amen? Praise the Lord. God wants to do wonderful things in you. God has placed power on the inside of you that is capable of doing anything. And remember, I said it's a creative force. God has given us creative ability in our lips and our mouth. It's if we will do right, though, if we will follow that, we have to choose it. Amen? Amen.